T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming to you from separate locations. Sneaky Joe DiBiase at our Amherst studios. Sal Capaccio at the league meetings down in Orlando. Set the scene for me, Sal. The sun out?
Yeah, it's starting to burn now. Like, it was a little cloudy this morning. I actually don't see many clouds in the sky now. It is currently, I just opened up to see, 72 degrees.
Ooh,
it's
nice.
Currently 72 degrees, and I believe today, let me just check real quick. I think today it's going to be about 80, let's see, oh, we no 80s today, 78. But tomorrow, Joe, high of 87.
Okay. There we go. Get some heat in there. That's going to be 60 degrees, 50 degrees warmer probably than it's going to be here. Orlando, too. That's probably, I was going to say, typically this is probably a good time of year to be going to Orlando for temperature, but 87.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's a great time of year. And, you know, I know right around, it's also Easter coming up, so I know that, like, kids are going to be on break a lot of times. I know in Buffalo and Western New York, most kids are going to be off, not this week, but next week. I'm actually taking my own family vacation next week. I'll be down under. We're going to go into Australia, actually, once I return from Orlando. But nice. I will tell you this. There are definitely, like, there's always kids in Orlando, right? There's always kids take, wherever you go.
Yes.
You're driving somewhere, you go somewhere, you just see families. It's Disney. It's you know, Orlando. That's what you do. It's Magic Kingdom. It's Epcot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a good time of year for that. I debated if I should do this show with you today outside on the Da Vinci lawn or inside the JW Marriott, where we are. So what happens is here, let me set the scene as you just said. There's two hotels here, the JW Marriott and the Ritz-Carlton. They're connected to each other. The it's listed as the Ritz-Carlton as the, you know, place of the league meetings because that's where most of the owners stay. They're at the Ritz.
Yeah.
But the meeting rooms are actually at the JW, where we are now, and people are here, and literally, like, Matt Bove setting up right here, Matt Perino sitting next to me. There's a media room here. I could be called into any sort of press conference at any time that says, okay, somebody from whatever committee is going to be talking, and you walk into that press conference, but that's all happening here at the JW Marriott. So there's a lot of things that are happening, and you just kind of don't know when something's going to pop up for you to get some information from someone. We do, as we'll talk about, we did hear from Brandon Bean yesterday when we got here. We heard from Sean McDermott today at the AFC Coaches Breakfast. But other than that, it's a lot of, hey, there's this person or that person, media. And at any point, there could be some committee meeting or briefing for the press.
Yep. So that being said, if something pops up like that, Sal, step away for on-air purposes here on the Extra Point Show. So stay tuned. We'll have guests along the way as well. Brandon Bean Sound coming to you a little bit later on as well. So things are happening. People are talking. Are there whispers of rumors that are floating around for what we might get this week?
Yeah, I think this is where, Joe, I think, you know, the combine is, it's actually really interesting the way it sets up, and it makes sense, right? I mean, the combine is more about free agency and laying the groundwork of who's going to be a free agent, and you start to hear rumblings. Every time we go to the combine, it's like, oh, we're here, and this guy's going to get paid. Like, I came out of this year's combine thinking, okay, like, as much as I think the Bills might have a conversation with Gabe Davis, they kind of know they're not going to re-sign Gabe Davis, right? Like, that's going to happen. I remember last year that was the deal with Tremaine Edmonds and the word that was coming out of there. The combine was where we started to hear about quarterback movement. Now, I will tell you, nobody really got the whole Russell Wilson thing right. All the Pittsburgh people thought it was going to be Kenny Pickett. But still, we knew that something was happening with that, with the quarterbacks and the movement and Caleb Williams and Chicago and Justin Fields. So, very certain coming out of combine that a big takeaway I said to you on the air was, I am 100% sure Justin Fields is getting traded sooner rather than later. Like, they made that clear. Okay, that's the combine. Then we have free agency start. You come here. Now it's about the draft. Now it's about teams already kind of got their free agents. You know, they're settling in. They're going to get their visits coming in. And now we start to hear what's going on. So what's the latest report today? The Patriots aren't necessarily locked in at a quarterback at number three. But see, now we're going to start to hear these games that are being played. Are they really? Are they not? I don't know. No one's going to lock themselves in. Of course the Patriots aren't going to say they're locking themselves in at a quarterback at number three. Of course they're going to say that. Mm-hmm. But that's the report this morning. And, you know, but that's what starts happening here.
Yeah, Jerod Mayo saying that even right from his own mouth, I think, about we're not, you know, necessarily locked in to the number three pick being a quarterback. You're right, like, you would expect you'll get some couching one way or another, even if he knew we were going to pick a quarterback. That was this morning. We had a lot of coaches. You mentioned McDermott, and we'll hear some of that too. That is just every coach is at a table and with microphones and just like fire away.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, it's a good setup. I like it. So what you do is in Monday morning is the AFC. Tuesday morning is the NFC. I don't know why, but it's always been AFC first. I have no idea what the reasoning for that is, but it's always just traditionally since I've been here. So we walk into this big ballroom, and there are literally 16 round tables, like you would sit at a wedding, right? Like that. And you walk in the ballroom, there's 16 round tables. And every table has a stand with the coach's name and that team's logo. And even before we walk in there, we get a schematic of where each coach is sitting. So you know when you walk in where you go and where every other coach is. So I walk in this morning, and Sean McDermott's kind of like one of the first tables on the left. So you already see some of the media gathering around. My thing is I want to get there a little earlier to get a good spot. If you're far away from Sean, you can't really hear him, you know. But what happens is the TV people, like Matt Bove, he'll put his camera a little further away because you don't want to be up in his face, obviously. So, you know, he's over there. I sat literally right next to Sean. Like, we were, like, touching elbows so that I could put my microphone on so I could get a good sound from him. So it's really just how you want to position yourself. And then it's, hey, whatever questions you want for a half hour, we get to talk to them. And then after that is, you know, if you want, I could get up at any time and go to somebody else, but then I'm missing Sean. So what I try to do is right after Sean's done, I'll go to somebody else to talk about something relevant to the Bills. So, for example, and I'll let Josh Schmidt know back at the station, Josh, you can go find this and we can hear this. I actually caught up with Andy Reid right after the McDermott to ask him about Mike Edwards and his fit in the Bills defense. And that's the kind of thing you do, right? Which is you can talk to other coaches about things that you might have questions about. And, you know, you turn on the mic and it's relevant. It's really cool. So it's a pretty casual situation like that. And yes, they're eating breakfast and the media gets to eat too.
All right. What we'll hear some of McDermott, of course, as I mentioned, but what do you think the major takeaway was? We'll get to some league, you know, overall rule stuff. Would it be that, you know, they don't really have resolution yet on play calling for defense?
You know, here's my question to you, Joe. Every time we've asked Sean McDermott, have you, first question I asked him, like literally opened up and said, let's start with your coaching staff. Have you determined who's calling defensive plays yet? He said no. Do you think he actually knows?
I see. This is where I have a tough time trying to decipher this, because on one hand I think, okay, Bobby Babich. I mean, I can't imagine that the meeting took place whenever it did. That multiple meetings, I'm sure, where he became the new defensive coordinator, and that wasn't discussed, or he wouldn't have some clarity on what that was going to be for his job. But at the same time, I mean, it's March. I don't really know what you gain by playing the coach game of I'm not letting my opponents know, you know, what's going on here. Like, it's March. I don't know what you gain by not saying who your play caller is. I guess, Sal, I would wonder, like, will we ever find out? But I think we probably will, right?
We'll find out. The question is, when will we find out? Will it be before OTAs? Will it be during training camp, right? I mean, Joe, we didn't know who the middle linebacker was until the first week of the year. right?
Right.
And then there was an injury. I understand that. But even then, it was basically trending like we weren't going to know who the middle linebacker was. Now, we'll get clues. We're going to be at practice. We're going to watch this stuff.
Right.
I would tell you what's also interesting is Sean said he said, yeah, we're doing roster construction now, and that's what's happening, and talk it over and, you know, go through that process. And he basically said, you know, when the time is right, we'll know and we'll work through it. But right now he's in no hurry.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front as the offseason progresses. How much, Sal, did you guys get into, like, rule stuff with Sean McDermott, given that he's on the competition committee? Or is that maybe more for later in the week, given that I know they just got there, right? So none of this has been decided yet.
Right. So Sean's position now, so as you noted, he is on the committee. So I think that, you know, he's very guarded against saying exactly what the committee feels. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to reveal, like, well, this is what, you know, and those are closed-door meetings. And I understand that. So he's not going to say, and he's very careful about his position or not. He just wants to give the overall view of the pros and the cons and how you have to balance things. He did mention that, you know, which one do you want to start with? Because I asked them both about kickoff and hip drop tackle. You want to do kickoff?
Yeah, let's start with kickoff, because I wanted to get to that with you, because I'm kind of excited at the possibility that could pass. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you let me know, like, what maybe if he said anything on it. But the more I read about it, the more I feel like it's got a shot to pass this week, mm-hmm. which I don't know that I've ever felt before. But that doesn't also mean that maybe it's something where it comes close this year, and then they tweak it, and maybe next year it happens.
That is kind of what Brandon Bean said he thinks, you know, could be possible, that maybe they do it for preseason this year or they table it till next year. Like, he didn't say it's going to happen. He just said, you know, there's a lot of different outcomes that could happen here. And they also could table it till May, Joe. There's another owners meetings, a league meetings in May, but they're not quite like this one. But the competition committee reconvenes at that point, and the owners do. And, you know, we could have something in May on that. But mm-hmm. what Brandon Bean said was, you know, they were in a meeting before he met with us. And ironically, right after we met with them, there was a change in the amendment to the rule. And they actually moved from the 35 to the 30, the touchback
yes.
rule. So as you walk through that. So obviously, that's an indication of, hey, we like this, but this is a part. They're really digging deep into what they like about it and don't like about it.
Yeah.
So Sean today was asked about it, and he said, you know, the purpose is, and this is where I think that a lot of fans, Joe, are kind of like missing this a little bit, which is the NFL is not trying to get rid of kickoffs, folks. It's the opposite. Mm-hmm. They're trying to keep kickoffs in the game. If they want to get rid of kickoffs, they'd get rid of kickoffs. In fact, the reason why they're doing this, Joe, Sean McDermott said kickoffs were way down last year. This is a way to bring them back, but with less injury risk. They're trying to get more kickoffs, but with less injury. Why less injury? Well, the way it would work is you're not having guys run 60 yards down the field to make a tackle. Now you're having guys literally run 20 yards, and 5 yards from where they start, they're getting blocked by somebody.
Right, right. And they're also kind of punishing a touchback. In a way, right? Not
yes,
not all the
time.
Way, but like, but they modified yes. it, right? Because now it's 10 yard difference instead of 15.
Right. So, touchback would go to the 30. I think is the new amendment, right? If I look back
yes.
yesterday when they sent
yeah.
that note yesterday, the touchback would go back to the 30. So basically, if a team kicks it through the end zone, it's at the 30. I mean, that's significant starting field position in the NFL. And I don't think a lot of teams want to do that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if they figure out that, oh, my God, it's really tough to stop them from getting past there anyway, let's just do it, then I could see it. There's no fair catches. So the object, what they want to have happen is, play this out in your head, what they want to have happen is they want the kickoff team to kick it into the landing zone, which is the goal line. They want it to be returned. That's what they want. Because if you do anything else, it's punitive to the kicking team.
Right. That's why, like, I'm almost impressed that the NFL is also willing. Like, this is almost to a T exactly what the XFL did. Mm-hmm. And the NFL, like, I would have been skeptical. I think you might have been. I know a lot of would have been that they would just outright copy another team, a league's rule, because it's not their own idea. But I almost feel like this is so good at increasing the amount of kickoff returns, which, I mean, that is on tape. Like, you have the XFL games, at least, where you know that will happen, and you could just, you know, guess at it if you just read and understand it enough anyway. And at the same time, like, you are not making it so easy to return kicks, but players are not flying at 20 miles per hour on these hits. So, like, I almost feel like, Sal, it is so good at establishing two rules, or two goals. We are going to get more returns, and we are going to make it safer because players aren't going 1,000 miles per hour. I almost feel like, right, I'm impressed, exactly, that the league is willing to just copy another team's rule because it is just such a good rule.
And you know how this kind of came out, which was, yes, that's part of it. Literally had special teams coordinators meet to come up with this. This rule, this proposal, is from several different special teams coordinators getting together. I mean, I think all of them were involved in some capacity, but it came down to like a few of them kind of got together and they crafted this to say, this is the best way we think it'll happen. And I think that's cool, right? I mean, those are the highest authorities of how this is working, and what when they go to game plan, when they go to watch film, they're understanding. They work with these guys, you know, every single day, and what works, what doesn't work. And I like that they asked the special teams coordinators to kind of come up with this, and they did. They brought it to the table, and that's what it is. There's another element of this too, which is Rich McKay said last week on a Zoom call that, with just kind of setting up the owners' meetings, and I listened to the Zoom call, he said scoring was down last year from about where it was, 45 points a game, to about 43 points a game, somewhere give or take-ish, you know, percentage-wise. And he actually said, like, they want it to be around 45. He said 43 is fine, but we'd like it to be about 45. Now, first of all, that tells me, okay, just let the cat out of the bag, and you said the quiet part out loud, which is you prefer offense in this league, and you make rules for offense, which we know, but that was kind of the first time. Oh, yeah, we'd like it at 45. It's down. He called it concern. That it was down. It shouldn't be a concern to me. But anyway, be it as it may, he said that, and then he said because of these new kickoff rules, they do believe that a little extra field position could actually factor into those 2 points to kind of get back to where they were.
Yeah. By the way, I wonder if there would be like a sweet spot there. Like, I wonder what he would say if scoring went up to 50 points a game. He might say, like, we'd like it to come down a little bit. Maybe there is like a sweet spot for the league there, so it doesn't get too ridiculous with offense. But
right.
I hear you on that. The other thing on, real quick on kickoffs. Bean said that yesterday about the preseason maybe being like a testing ground for that. Am I right in being skeptical about that, Sal? Because how much would teams want to practice that if they knew that it wasn't going to be a thing in the regular season?
Agreed with you. I don't even remember the league doing things like this in the preseason.
Right.
Like, did the league ever have a drastic change? Maybe a replay thing, but nothing so operational on the field, right?
Right.
Nothing with such a drastic change. I never remember the NFL doing something like that comes to rules in the preseason.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. So even Sean said, yeah, like, you a little bit differently about if this passes, like, what players you're using there and how you're constructing your rosters. Now, I'll give my opinion on this, which is if they go to this, your kickoff team, your coverage team, suddenly changes from faster wide receivers and DBs to fly down there to guys who are just really good tacklers who are already kind of down there. I'm not saying those guys wouldn't be a part of it. Of course they would. But I think if given his choice, if there's a spot on the roster, the very tail end of the roster, and you're like, we need a special teams guy, are you choosing the wide receiver who's going to be able to run down real fast and get there, who might not be the greatest tackler, but he can, you know, get there and make sure that you can cause the returner to move? Mm-hmm. Are you choosing the guy who isn't as fast, but you're really more sure that he's going to be able to make the tackle if it comes
that's
to
a,
him?
That's a
I
good,
think it's the latter.
That's a good point. Like, I wonder if we start to see, and again, that's if this rule goes through. Like, will linebackers see a little bit of a boost because maybe teams will take one more linebacker now to be that guy rather than, you know, like you said, Justin Shorter this year. If this kickoff rule is in place, will Justin Shorter have a harder time making the team because, you know, a lot of what you could do on special teams for us is run down on those kicks, and now we might rather have a second Tyler Matakevich. to do something like that.
That's right.
The other thing,
I agree. That's exactly the way I look at it. I do think that it's roster construction. Go ahead.
The other thing I just wanted to pass along, because Tommy just tweeted this in for me. I'm going to take his word for it. I'll look it up in the break, too. I mentioned how the NFL would just be copying the XFL. Tommy's tweeting that the XFL had an agreement with the NFL last year to test the kickoff rule. So that the NFL maybe already used that as the testing grounds for it. So I'll see if that is true, but that would make more sense as to why they would be willing to do it, given another league, tested it around. How about before we move off it, your feeling, Sal, do you have a guess one way or the other whether this will pass or not?
In my experience with these kinds of things, these drastic changes, they usually don't pass right away. Look at the 4th-and-20 thing that's coming up again this year, right?
Yep.
How many times have we had variations of that? It's never happened. But yet there always seems to be some momentum for it. Remember, you need 24 of 32. You need 75% of the owners. I think my math is right there, right, Joe? 24 of 32 is 75%?
Yes.
I think
yes.
So.
Yep.
Three-fourths?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
There you go.
See,
I love
sure.
it.
It's exactly 75. You know, do you need above 75?
No, you need 24.
So 24.
You need 24 of 32 owners to pass a resolution. So if one abstains, that's not a pass either. You have maybe they say, "Oh, we want to table it. We're not against it. We just want more information." You can do that, but it's essentially a no. I just in my experience with this, these things don't pass right away. But I do think there's momentum for this. Like everyone recognizes something has to change here, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, a couple other really interesting rules about the kickoff, just so we can. I just think this is fascinating. So, you can't onside kick anymore.
Right.
What if you're in this kickoff formation? Because an onside kick, it's going to roll 10 yards. There's nobody there. The other team has set up 25 yards downfield.
It's just the kicker. It's just the kicker.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the kicker, once he kicks it, Joe, he can't cross the 50. Mm-hmm. He's got to hang back.
Okay.
Do you know what happens if the ball falls off the tee twice? Because remember, all your guys are up now.
If the ball falls off.
All your guys are 40.
Right. You used to have a guy come in and hold it, and that is not the case anymore if this happens?
No. So because if all of your kicking team now is, envision this in your head, everybody. Okay. Kicker's at your own 35-yard line. Yep. But all the guys covering the kick for him are at the other team's, not yours, the other team's 40.
Right.
So 35, 40, 45, 50, 40, 50, they're, 25 yards up.
Yep.
Anyway, if the ball falls off the tee twice, he gets to bring out one of those kicking sticks that they use, in warm-ups.
Oh, wow.
And put it to hold it. And after he kicks it, the official picks up the kicking stick.
I was going to say, you can't have that thing laying on the field. That could do some damage.
No, the official picks it up.
Yeah, okay.
The official who is nearest him picks it up.
All right.
Okay. That's number one. Hold on. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Then the other thing is, too, with onside kicks, so everybody's clear. You say, what do you mean you can't do onside kicks? No, you can't. So if you do want to do an onside kick, you have to wait until the fourth quarter. There are zero onside kicks allowed before. You have to be in the fourth quarter, and you have to be trailing. And not tied, not in the lead. You have to be trailing, and then you say to the official, we are trying an onside kick. Once you do that, now everybody gets to return back to their traditional onside kick formation where the kicker kicks the ball.
Okay. There was another proposal, wasn't there, Sal, about creating in concert with this kickoff rule some variation of what you just mentioned, that fourth and whatever, you get 4th-and-20,
yes,
and that would be your onside kick. Is that still live, or is that toast?
Yes.
Okay.
4th-and-20 from the 25-yard line, that's still on the table.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know if you could pass both. That'd be an interesting question, right? I guess you could.
I think
you
could.
No, you can just do that instead.
Yeah. You could work.
But in that instance, and I wonder too. I have to go look at the wording on that. If you could use that before the fourth quarter, right? So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different things here. I mean, there's so many things. The Bills, we could do hip drop tackle too if you want. But the Bills, they also proposed an operational rule for the third emergency quarterback. So right now, the third emergency quarterback has to be a guy on your 53. So the Bills can't just call up a guy from the practice squad and say, he's our third emergency quarterback today. We're making him inactive. It's got to be somebody. You have to keep three. You have to keep three on the roster, make the guy inactive for the game, and then he becomes your third emergency quarterback who can come in the game when the other two get hurt. The Bills are actually proposing a rule to change that. They're saying, no, you'd only have to keep two, but you can elevate a third extra guy every week who's just a quarterback and make him inactive.
Right. Which basically guarantees that every team,
makes sense.
Every team would always have a third quarterback they could turn to.
Yeah, I
think so too. The hip drop tackle. Let's get to that. So the PA, I know, has been fighting this, but I saw a comment from Jerry Jones that he's like very confident that it will pass this week. Yeah. So I don't know which way it goes. Maybe you have a guess, but this is a tough one, Sal, just because I think it's just going to be a nightmare to officiate if they actually do it.
Agreed. This was brought up on the Zoom call last week, and they acknowledge it will be a little difficult, but just like they use the helmet example when they took the helmet out of the game and you can't lead with your helmet and all those. We still have questions, but everyone's kind of so much better at it, right? Like, they've gotten better at officiating. They've gotten better at, certainly, and I agree with this, players gotten better at not doing it. And that's the goal. Hey, it's going to be a tough adjustment at first. We're all going to have to live with it. But eventually, it's going to be better for everybody. The PA is against it because how do you not tackle? I mean, you get to tell me you can't tackle anybody. But, you know, they're saying it's not that you can't tackle someone from behind anymore and fall on them. It's what they're trying to do, Joe, is they're trying to make it where if you're chasing a guy from behind, let's say, or an angle, I guess, you grab him, you don't lift your weight up first and then fall down on him. That's the hip drop is what they're calling it, because these have resulted in significant injuries. And Jerry Jones said that. I will also tell you, Troy Vincent, kind of very aggressively last week on the Zoom call, was asked, like, hey, what do you think about the PA coming out against it? And I'm just paraphrasing. He basically said, yeah, we don't really care. Like, we're going to do what's best for the game, and that's our job, and we understand that they're going to be against these things.
Wow. That's a comment right there.
I know.
I guess if they do it, I mean, it, you know, we'll see. Sometimes they put rules in, too, where it just doesn't. It's, like, in the rule book, but you don't see it a lot. Like, running backs, yeah, lowering their helmets, like you mentioned. So we'll see what we get. 803-0550 is the phone number. Sal is down at the league meetings. We'll have lots of good content coming your way through the next hour and a half. We'll hear from Brandon Bean a little bit later on. He met with the media yesterday. And, yeah, we'll see what we get. The Bills made some signings over the weekend that we should talk about as well, that we'll get to on the defensive line and on the offensive line. So stay tuned. If you've got a thought, call in now. We'll get to you right after the break. So stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It did surprise me. You know, I think us in San Francisco, we got a raw deal. We had separate Zooms with the league trying to go through how it was calculated, because by even their accounts, as we were checking with them through the year, we clearly had a third rounder. And so it's with all the conversions, the voids and things like that, numbers that are not really numbers. And there's been so many of those in recent years due to COVID and where the cap was, that it fell into it and we missed. I'm talking like this. It was a major blow because we had planned for that, and I know San Fran felt the same way.
That's Brandon Bean yesterday from the league owners meetings. Hear more of that coming up next hour. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal, who were the Niners going to get a comp pick for, by the way? Do you know?
Ooh, it's a good question. That's a good question. You can go look at that.
Look.
Who did they lose last year? Okay, but this is really fascinating, Joe. Like, remember when we all kept saying third round pick, right?
All year, yeah.
And then they get a fourth round pick, and you're like, what is going on here? And then there was actually a really good Twitter account, and I can't remember the name, and there's a person who does a lot of this stuff, and I think they might cover the Commanders or something. But either way, they kind of dug into it, and they're really up on the comp picks, and they said, I'm not kidding you when I tell you the league might have even made an error here, like a calculating error. Like, it should have been a third-round comp pick. And the way it works, so everybody knows, you heard Bean there a little bit. It's a complicated formula. It's based on how much when you lose free agents, you lose more than you gain. Mm-hmm. And how much those guys sign for, what their average per year is, their incentives, and their play time. And it just kind of all goes into this formula. Then they rank all of them. They rank all these free agents who signed. And if you fall within a certain number, your team gets a third-round pick. And then certain range is fourth-round pick. And they just missed out on Tremaine. He fell just below the third. And basically what it came down to was Brandon Bean saying, all year, like, we were in contact with the league, and we were led to believe we're getting a third-round pick. Like, nothing changed. They operated, Joe, the Bills operated on, like, all season thinking they'd have an extra third-round pick. They traded a third for Russell Douglas. You think they didn't think about that at the time? Of course they did. And then they go into the offseason thinking that, well, they get this fourth-round pick, and Brandon Bean said they appealed it. They went to the league. They had Zoom calls about it. Them and San Fran did a Zoom call together about it. What's the deal? Why is this happening? And he said the way he explained to them, because of the void years that are going on all these contracts around the league, it kind of pushed Tremaine down a little bit in the rankings. Essentially, that's what happened. But he was not happy. He was very candidly not happy yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, you think you're getting a third all year. You trade for Rasul Douglas. Trading a third-round pick, probably thinking, like, we've got one coming. And if you've been, I mean, what were the odds that one of the times he checked in with the league was on deadline day to make sure, like, hey, guys, we just want to make sure we're still in line for this third-round pick because, you know, not even because, but in his mind, we're about to trade a third for Rasul Douglas. Be nice to know if we're getting one
right
on the back end. And I'm not saying they wouldn't have made that trade had they not, you know, been getting a third. And it obviously worked out for them. Great. But that would have mattered in any equation, I think, for making a deal.
And I still, there's still some fans who keep asking me, how could the Bills miscalculate? Well, the Bills have no control over the contract Tremaine Edmonds signs or any other free agent from another team, so it's not like they're calculating that as their equation. But yes, once it gets signed, then they can start calculating what they'll get. It wasn't even that. They were basically led to believe by the league in every conversation they had all year long, they were going to get a third. That's not a miscalculation on their part. That's the league that's the league's miscalculation.
Right. You almost want, like, I don't know. But we'll see if anything changes. But, like, you almost want the league to figure it out by the start of the season, what everybody's getting, if you could, which would just be basing it on, like, immediately, you know, what they signed for. By the way, the Niners would have been, I believe, reading a story from their site, Jimmy Garoppolo. When he signed
it is Garoppolo, that's right. It is Garoppolo.
He signed a three-year, $72 million deal with the Niners. But again, because of what, void years or guarantee stuff that somehow a $72 million contract over 3 years only gets you a fourth? I don't know. That was even smaller.
And I believe Tremaine was 4 years, 52.
Right. Right, those are two monster deals.
I mean, that's what he signed for.
And you only get a fourth-round pick.
Well, the Bills did sign, guys this year who are going to count towards the formula, but then some guys who don't. That's part of the game you have to play, Joe, which is
if
the guy only falls only under a certain amount, he's not going to count towards the formula. So you try to sign those guys. But if a guy's like, I want this much money, like, yeah, but that's going to count towards the formula. It counts us against us. So it's a real big game they play now.
Yeah. Speaking of signings they made this offseason, they made a couple more this weekend. Austin Johnson and Will Clapp. So Johnson, more of a player that, like, we're actually going to see on the field, right? You would guess this year, Sal?
Yeah, I wonder if Will Clapp, I was just thinking about this. Matt Bove and I, literally an hour ago, just recorded an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. And people can check that out and you can see, like, yeah, we're sitting out on the lawn and doing it. But him and I, we were talking through this. And it came to me, my realization, while doing it, and I'll say it to you, I wonder if Will Clapp replaces David Edwards as the extra offensive lineman, like the sixth guy. You know what I mean? Who comes in on the jumbo package. Because David Edwards is going to start now at left guard from what we are led to believe here, what we know, and what they're going to try and do. It's going to be Connor McGovern at center, David Edwards at guard, And Will Clapp is an interior swingman, just like David Edwards was last year. I wonder if he becomes, talk about how often he's on the field, maybe he's the David Edwards replacement for being on the field.
Yeah, Bobby Hart was that the year before. I was, I had a buddy joking around with me this week that, Joe, the way they're going to use their first round pick, or get their first round pick on the field this year, is they're going to draft a guard in the first round, and he's going to be that role, which I don't see happening.
Right.
Yeah, that could definitely be the case. I mean, someone will do that, right? Like, I know they've only really been doing that for the last, what, 2, maybe 3 years? But, I mean, they've had relatively good success, especially running the ball, when they've had those packages out there. So I don't see any reason why they would change, right?
Yeah, and that's a great segue into, like, the type of, you know, offense that they're going to try and implement here, which I shouldn't say it that way. It sounds like some drastic change. One thing that came out like today and in this offseason, what's kind of really becoming clearer, Joe, to me, and you tell me if you kind of read into it. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But one thing that I'm really kind of gathering here from the Bills this year is they really are going to try to concentrate on, I don't know how I want to say it. I don't want to say run the ball more. But the game is being played underneath now. The game is not being played over the top. And that was, again, underscored by McDermott today. Like, I asked him a couple times about, like, two high safeties and split safeties. And, yeah, and the game is cyclical. The game is played underneath now. The game is not played over the top. And I think it's extra guy. You're getting beefier up front because defenses are getting lighter in the box, and they're using guys over the top to make sure you don't beat them deep. And I think everything the Bills have strength down the field. Who'd they sign? A guy who you can put all over the field and even in the backfield to get the ball in his hands as early in the down as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think hearing Bean talk about Samuel yesterday, Sal, like, had me thinking along the same lines. And also, in addition to that, like, he mentioned at one point the fact that they ran the ball more later in the year because they were trying to see if they could get teams to show them that single high look.
Right.
And then you could take your shots down the field. And this is where I'm at with, like, Samuel and the yak conversation, shorter stuff, all the screens, which didn't go that well last year. But they didn't have, I didn't think, a Curtis Samuel or even a player kind of like Curtis Samuel in the building. I think James Cook screens worked okay. The Diggs ones, not really. Shakir, they were all right. Davis, not so much. Samuel, I mean, that's his thing. Like, you throw him the ball in space short, and you watch him go. What I'd like to see happen, and what I might even have confidence we will see happen, is Bean talking about, we want to see if we could get teams to show us one high looks. Well, maybe instead of having to run the ball more, maybe the way you can get teams to show you that look is between James Cook, Curtis Samuel, and other guys mixed in, we're going to do so much more short and getting players in space, getting that yak going that we've never really been great at, and that's how we're going to open up things down the field. So I don't necessarily even think that the shorter passing game has to come at the expense of the deep pass game. I think I would be hopeful that it could open it up.
Agreed. That's why I want to be careful how we talk about it and how I say it. I don't want to give the impression that I think the Bills are going to some, because what is the narrative already? We've already heard it. Sean McDermott, conservative, doesn't. We know that's not true. They throw the ball. They throw the ball more than any team in the league almost. Yes, they ran the ball more last year as it went on. They also went 6-1, but we know that. Like, they're not afraid to throw the ball. They did not throw the ball down the field as much last year. We know that too. I think that's a lot of it because they didn't have the guys to get separation. I don't want to frame it as I think the Bills are going to some ground-and-pound type of offense and West Coast system. I don't think that. What I think they're trying to do is what you said, get teams to come up so we can take our shots with Josh Allen, you know, and because that's going to open up. But in order to do that, we're going to take advantage of you running too high. If you want to do that, we'll do it all day. Yeah. I think the Dallas game is the perfect example, Joe. The Dallas game, is anybody mad they ran the ball 40 times for 200-something yards?
No, it worked every play.
Dallas said, we will give it to you. Why not take it? I think the Bills envision this year going like that sometimes, which is, hey, maybe not to the level of the Cowboys. You're not seeing teams run dime every play, right? But if you're going to do that and run these two high safeties and split safeties, like, we're just going to have to get underneath, and we're going to force you. We're going to get 5-6 yards a pop, and then eventually you're going to come up, and you're going to have to put another guy in the box, and that's when we're going to hit you over the top. That's what I think the Bills' game and plan is here.
The other thing being said about Samuel while we're on him, and again, we'll hear more from Bean later, when he talked about Samuel not being a traditional wide receiver, lining up in the backfield, slot, outside, a bunch of different ways to use him, like it obviously, if you're on the wide receiver train and you are wanting to see the Bills invest in that position and looking for signs that they agree, that they also think that we can use another player, we want to take a shot there at some point. Like, to me, hearing the way he talked about Samuel, someone else is playing meaningful snaps. Because, like, I don't know that they'll play 80% of snaps, 90% of snaps, but the player that they're going to want to play that Gabe Davis role in certain packages, like, that guy is not on the roster. If they want to put a bigger-bodied X receiver, even if it's for blocking, let alone just lining up out wide, I mean, maybe Mac Hollins factors into that playing a certain amount of snaps, but, like, to me, if the season started tomorrow, Sal, like, Hollins plays because they are going to want, I think, a Davis-like player for certain packages.
I think that might come in the draft. It's interesting, too. Brandon Bean was asked specifically, what kind of receiver are you looking for? And you guys talked about this morning. It's, okay, guy who can move around the formation, play different roles, very smart, understands what we're trying to accomplish. A redundant receiver that we already have on the roster. Rack, ball. Okay, so I don't know. I didn't listen to you and Jeremy. Are you swayed towards a certain receiver or two?
There's one guy I'm thinking more about, and Eric Turner from Cover One actually was the one who led me to it because he was tweeting about him. It made me think about Ladd McConkey. Because
me too.
Yeah,
me too.
He's multidimensional, lines up anywhere, and also, I think we've made this point before, right, Sal? Like, the Bills are not afraid to draft guys on certain traits that don't have a lot of college production. I mean, McConkey in 3 years had 1,600 yards. Like, there's not a lot of production there at Georgia, but I don't tend to think the Bills would be scared off by that.
I agree. I think he needs to be in the conversation. I think Xavier Leggett is a guy that kind of fits that to me.
Yes.
Some of the things that, you know, he could be asked to do. I had a really good, somebody was telling me a conversation. Pete Lembo, I believe, the new UB coach, he was down there, South Carolina, right? He coached Xavier Leggett.
Yeah.
And I think he was special teams, but apparently someone told me a conversation they had about how they asked him to play special teams. He's like, special teams, because he was just a freak athlete and he could do so much. And I think about that, right? Which is a lot, and especially as a rookie receiver, you might have a guy too that contribute in that area for sure.
Yeah.
Joe, the Bills also signed Mike Edwards, as you know, and I caught up with Andy Reid. So maybe in the next segment we could talk about that addition. I want everybody to hear what Andy Reid had to say about Mike Edwards, which ties back into what we just said about defense.
Perfect. We'll do two things. We'll do that. Mike Edwards coming back and Andy Reid on him. And also, if you're on hold, Walter, Tom, stay there. We'll try to get you right in the next segment before the top of the hour. So stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal's in Orlando for the league meetings. I'm back here at our Amherst studios, and we'll have more for you after the timeout here on WGR. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sneaky Joe DiBiase and Sal Capaccio. Sal from the league owners meetings. The Bills got...
Joe, we have breaking news.
Oh, okay.
The hip drop tackle has been banned.
Wow.
The hip drop tackle has been banned. Breaking news from here in Orlando at the NFL owners meetings. There will be a... It was unanimous from the competition committee, according to Ian Rappaport. The NFLPA objected to it. This was moving. I told you earlier that this was going to pass. They were going to do this. They were going to get language on it. It's not to the pleasure of defenders. There's no doubt. It's going to be harder to officiate. But here we go. The hip. Now, how many are actually in a game? There are not a lot of them that we see throughout the year. They have been notable because of some significant injuries. But just a few moments ago, breaking news, the hip drop tackle is being banned from football, from the NFL.
All right. Mark Andrews was the big one, right, as you mentioned, like out for, I think he did return in the playoffs, but missed a giant chunk of the season. Did Nick Chubb also have that happen to him?
Yeah, I think that might have been that too, yeah.
That was the big one too, because that was out for the year, and I mean, that might derail his career. We'll see how he recovers, but. All right, Sal, like, here we go. Like, I guess you mentioned it, like, it doesn't happen all that often, but good luck legislating it. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it looks. And is this one of those deals where it's a one-year temporary rule, or is it because of the nature of the rule, it's just, this is it. It's permanent, and it's replay that they can do 1 year, year by
this
year?
This is... We don't have the full details from the league itself, the competition committee. From what the way I am looking at it right now, I'm going to guess this is a ban. This is not a 1 year test.
Gotcha.
This is, they're putting in a rule in to say you cannot do this anymore.
All right. The hip drop tackle banned. All right. So we'll see. We'll see what we get in terms of details. But yeah, there's, yeah, Pelissero just said hip drop tackle banned too. All right. So the Bills signed Mike Edwards before the weekend, and that was a one-year deal. Not a lot of money. Starting experience. Brandon Bean talked very highly of him yesterday, but Andy Reid also?
Andy Reid, you know, interesting. You know, obviously, Mike Edwards wins a Super Bowl with the Bucs, goes to the Chiefs, wins another Super Bowl. He did not actually play that much against the Bills when they came to Buffalo. He was injured on the first series, I believe. But Sean McDermott said he's always watched his game from afar. He really thought that he would fit in, really liked his game. I caught up with Andy Reid right after we spoke with Sean McDermott, and I asked him specifically, what are the Bills getting in Mike Edwards? All right, Coach, what are the Bills getting in safety Mike Edwards?
Yeah, great football player. He knows. He gets it, and he's got tremendous instincts. Great human being, too. So
You know Sean's scheme very well. Likes to do a lot of different things, multiple looks. How would he fit in there?
Well, just like ours. Sean and Spags are very similar. He'll do a great job. He gets it. That's the best thing I can say about him.
Those words, he gets it, Joe, twice he said it.
Yeah.
Doesn't this feel like the exact kind of safety the Bills love to have? And I'm not going to compare him to Micah or Jordan, but it kind of feels similar to when they signed Micah and Jordan. Been in the league for 5 years. He just gets it. He's smart. He's an athlete. It just feels like that kind of signing.
Yep, yep. No, for sure. I mean, you were on that from the start. Like, that it would be hard to believe they would just throw a rookie into the, like, to the Wolves, like, right away, week one, like, here you go.
Yep.
Backstopping that defense, that they might want to go more for someone that would have an understanding of it. And if they play a similar style, and he's a veteran, and he's going to come in with all of that mental stuff ready to go, then I'm not surprised at all that they, especially for how much money he costs. He wasn't going to, you know, Justin Simmons or some of these other safeties that signed for pretty healthy deals. Like, this was not a lot of money for the Bills at all.
That's right.
803-0550 is the phone number. Let's sneak a call in before we hit the timeout. Tom in Lackawanna has a question. What's up, Tom?
Yes, I'm still a little bewildered, shocked, and feeling ripped off that we're getting a number four instead of a number three. Who qualified for a number three then? Edmonds was a number one pick, played all 4 years, was an all-pro 2 years. And I believe the contract was 4 years.
But that doesn't matter. Yeah, that's the part that matters. Yeah.
Who did we
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
The only one that we offset was Floyd, and that was after June 1st. We didn't bring in any other free agents last year.
No. Hold on. Let me hold on. If I can jump in here, and I don't mean to interrupt you. Sorry, we're getting a delay, and I apologize for that. So here's you're confusing a few different things here, Tom. So it doesn't matter he was a number one pick. Doesn't matter how good he was in Buffalo. All that matters is what you said secondly. The contract he signed in Chicago. Floyd means nothing to it. Doesn't matter. The Bills already qualified for an extra draft pick. They met that qualification. They lost more than they signed. So that's in it. The only thing that mattered here was all of the free agents around the league who signed with other teams and where they ranked for their contracts and where Tremaine Edmonds fell in that. That's all that matters.
Yep. And for, if you want a comparison, even though, again, like, every situation's different here and every contract is structured differently. So, like, the Jaguars, for instance, they got a third-round pick for Jawan Taylor going to the Chiefs. That was a four-year, $80 million deal. So different position. But that's the same amount of term that Edmonds was for, what, $26 million more? So I'm not saying it was right. I'm not saying that it doesn't stink for the Bills because they could have used that pick maybe to trade up. They had plans for it, I'm sure, for something. But yeah, like just for one comparison, like Taylor was more money, and that's how the Jaguars got it. 8030, thanks for the call, Tom. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online, northtownkia.com. All right, time out here. Sal at the owners' meetings, and we'll have a little bit more from Brandon Bean coming up in hour number two as well. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll have time for you when we come back. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. It's the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.